Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Crossing Routes Podcast. It is your co-host, Herms, here as always, joined by my co-host, Mr. Tyler O. And we are going to be talking about some running backs that have some pretty clear RB1 upside, but ADP isn't treating them as such. These are the types of guys that when you target them in your draft, they could be the reason that you win your fantasy leagues, folks. So these are the guys we are going to be paying extra close attention to. But before we dive into those names and talk through some of that stuff, I got to ask Tyler, as I always do, how's it going, my man?
Never going to pass up an opportunity to tell you how excited I am for redraft season. I do it every single podcast. It's here.
Yeah.
Right. It's just fantasy football for us analysts is a year round thing. But it has its ups and its downs, right? After the Super Bowl, leading up to the combine, definitely a lull. In some ways, after the draft, leading into June, a little bit of a lull. And I can just feel the momentum coming for the season, man. Like, I think we have a football game in under 60 days, so in under 2 months. I mean, football's here. I can feel it in my loins, brother, and I'm ready to rock.
And we'll get the ball rolling on this conversation by talking about New York Jets running back Breece Hall. What do you think is the most exciting thing about him this upcoming season?
Yeah, RB 13 with his ADP. So it's kind of a cheat here because he's pretty much an RB 1, but technically he's not right now, according to FTN's ADP. So I'm talking about him. I'll take any opportunity to talk up Breece Hall because I'm all the way back in. So let's just take it back for a second. Let's paint the picture here. Let's set the context terms. Breece came into the league extremely clean prospect profile, right? But his rookie year derailed by injury. That said, I think we saw enough in his, I believe, seven games his rookie year to be like, gosh, this guy's a talented running back. The hype was worth it. He followed it up his second year, RB7 finish in year two. Despite disastrous quarterback play, we're talking Zach Wilson, Trevor Siemian, Tim Boyle even got some work in there. Hall showed off his home run speed, especially his pass catching chops, and just flat out made plays. He proved he's a top tier running back. While that RB13 price tag, I think, makes sense considering he was RB18 last year, right? Not a great finish. 68% snap rate last year, strong, but there was just simply too much Braylon Allen with a sprinkle of Isaiah Davis for him to overcome. But I am bullish on the new regime here in New York with my former defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn. Breece is getting a fresh start. You know, there's been some classic coach speak about, you know, three-headed monsters, liking all the running backs, making fantasy drafters hesitate. And I think that's fair. But I think at the end of the day, Herms, I'm just not buying it. Hall is simply too good. And I think there's some fair concern about Justin Fields and his rushing ability and siphoning off carries. But Fields has been known to check the ball down a lot. But that's exactly how Breece Hall got to his RB7 finish in 2023 by catching 76 balls on 95 targets. The Jets' new offensive coordinator, you know, he came over from Detroit as well with Glenn. He served as the Lions passing game coordinator. And if there's one thing you need to know about the Detroit Lions offense, what we've seen the last couple of years, they know that elite running backs make all the difference. And they're not afraid to run them into the ground and win the game with their running backs. The Jets are going to use Breece Hall early and often, especially through the air. And I think that's what the difference is here, is I think an 80-target season is absolutely in play for Breece Hall. So for me, he's a smash pick at the end of the third round. I would consider him over guys like Chase Brown and Kyren Williams. The volume might be in question, but the talent is not. I believe that betting on Breece Hall is a winning strategy, and I will continue to do so.
Another name that I think gets overlooked by fantasy managers sometimes is Kenneth Walker from the Seattle Seahawks. There's definitely a lot changing in that offense right now, but there's still a lot of reasons to be excited. Why don't you tell us more about it?
You know, Kenneth Walker came into the league, same year as Breece, actually. Loaded prospect profile. Loaded. Award winner. All-American consensus. He was the guy at Michigan State. Explosive. Shifty. Built like a feature back. I mean, he was RB2 in that class for a reason, and it didn't take long for that to show up. You know, I get the concerns, right? There's concerns around some injuries. I think he's actually, like, nursing an ankle right now. It shouldn't be a problem, but it's funny because that's always his knock. He's never played a full season in the NFL, which is obviously a problem here, but I'll say what I always say. I'm never projecting for injury. You can't play fantasy football scared. He's given us two top 16 seasons. If he gets a full season in 2025, he's absolutely slipping into the top 12 without question, in my opinion. One of the things we absolutely love to see that we cannot overlook is he had a real uptick in his pass game in 2024, right? You know, Walker only played 11 games due to injury, but he caught a career-high 46 balls. So played the least amount of games he's played, but caught the most balls. Love to see that. So important when it comes to finishing in the top 12. Doesn't seem like a ton, but you know, for me, it's just such a massive leap from year one to two to three. And if that passing role sticks, which I believe it should, it's going to be a huge boost to his weekly floor and ceiling. Seahawks, pretty thin on playmakers outside of JSN. They're going to need to lean on the run game, in my opinion, and Walker is the engine. I think for me, it really comes down to I just have no concerns, man, about Zach Charbonnet. I'm out, man. Always have been. I think he's a plotter. He doesn't offer anything dynamic. To me, he is not nearly as explosive as Walker. Zach Charbonnet is a handcuff. This is Walker's backfield. And if this receiving work holds, which I'm betting it will, and the touchdowns fall his way, which I don't necessarily think they have to, a full season of Walker, you can bank him in the top 12, man.
Definitely a good case to be made there for Ken Walker for sure. We have a couple more running backs that we are going to talk about, but we have to take a quick commercial break before we do that. So stick around. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. It is still your boy Herms. It is still your boy Tyler O. And we are still talking about some RB2s that we think have pretty good cases to be RB1s this season. And the next player on our list is Alvin Kamara of the New Orleans Saints.
Alvin Kamara's ADP is RB16 right now. He has never finished below RB16 in his entire career. In fact, he finished RB16 in 2022, but he missed a couple games. I mean, he missed games last year and finished RB9, missed more games in 2023, finished RB11. I mean, this guy's an absolute stud. He's 29. I think we've been proven that there are running backs out there that can play in their 30s and still be elite, and Kamara is one of them. There's nothing that he did last season that necessarily gives me pause. If you listen to the wide receiver version of this kind of type of podcast here, I talked about Davante Adams, I talked about Evans. Again, copy and paste that same argument. The concern is the age. I haven't seen a drop-off in his skill and production, so I'm not going to treat him like there is a drop-off. I'm not going to try to predict a drop-off. When you try to predict, in my opinion, a drop-off to a player who hasn't shown one, you're playing a losing game. And that's how I play fantasy football, and it served me very well. He still looks like himself, still has the juice, still profiles as a focal point of the Saints offense. I mean, frankly, where is this offense going to turn? Yeah, Olave is a solid wide receiver, but, you know, rookie Tyler Shough likely under Tyler Shough, I believe, under center. There's not a lot of firepower in the passing game. Kamara's going to have to carry the load. Now, I don't want to throw the old trope out there of, oh, rookie quarterback's going to throw a lot of dump offs. You know, I'm not going to throw that out there, but I mean, Kamara is also just a guy who gets dump offs regardless because he's that good. I mean, why not get him the ball? Why not dump the ball to Kamara? Because he's proven that he can do a lot with it. Listen, the Saints are not a great football team. They're in rebuilding mode. This could be a good thing for fantasy, though. They're going to be playing from behind, pass heavy scripts. And that is where Kamara thrives, is when he's used in the pass game. We've seen him hit 100 targets multiple times through his career. He's one of the best pass-catching running backs in the NFL, one of the best-catching running backs in the past decade, and everything projects to be about the same way. High-value touches is what we chase, folks, and Kamara gets them. He gets the targets. He gets the red zone work. He's not really going to come off the field that much, in my opinion. So for me, it's take the age discount. That's the theme here. Take the age discount of RB16 for Kamara. Don't overthink it. The RB1 upside is real. We've seen it last year, the year before, many years past. We know it's not a fluke. There's a value here to be had.
1,000%, man. And when you look at the rest of that Saints depth chart, what do we really see? Kendre Miller, he's been hurt so often to this point in his career that we don't really know what to expect from him. Rookie Devin Neal is a guy out of University of Kansas that I was pretty excited about, but you know, there's no guarantee he's going to be in line for some big role either. And you know, just to add on a little fun fact, since entering the league in 2017, there are only three running backs to amass 10,000 scrimmage yards. It's Derrick Henry, it's Christian McCaffrey, it's Alvin Kamara. This is the guy. There's absolutely no doubt. Now, to get into our last name on this list, it's a name that a lot of people have been talking about this offseason. He was a big topic of discussion throughout rookie drafts. Why don't you go ahead and tell me your thoughts on Travion Henderson?
Yeah, again, it's definitely a bit of a reach to say Travion Henderson is going to be an RB1. I get it. I wanted to provide a deeper cut to kind of close things out. And if you caught the wide receiver one we did before this, I did the same thing. But it's really just an opportunity for me to talk about, A, how much of a fan I am of Trey Van Henderson, and B, how much I think of value he is at his ADP of wide receiver 28. I mean, he's running back 28. It's way too low for this guy. I've been all in on him since his freshman year. He burst onto the scene, 1,250 yards, 15 touchdowns, as a true freshman in the Big Ten. That level of early production, man, carries serious weight in my evaluations. His prospect profile checks a lot of boxes, elite burst, great vision, smooth pass catching, home run ability. I think this whole undersized thing doesn't really bother me in the slightest. His game is built for the modern NFL. Obviously, Ramondre Stevenson still exists, but in my opinion, Ramondre's having every opportunity to lock this thing down and just hasn't done it. And frankly, I think the Patriots have, you know, they're turning a new leaf here with Henderson. Not that Stevenson's going to disappear, but I think 65, 70% snap share for Henderson is not out of the equation whatsoever. The Patriots offense is poised for a bounce back under new leadership. Just think there's a real chance this offense is better and we're not giving it enough credit. I don't think Henderson is a player who needs 20, 25 touches a game to be effective. He can do more with less, and that makes him a more versatile fantasy option. Think of him as kind of like a diet Jahmyr Gibbs. Now, I certainly don't think he's on the level of Jahmyr Gibbs, but at the same time, a guy who can be elite without elite volume. And to me, that is Henderson, and to me, that is a guy I will take swings on in the seventh round every day.
It's a good price, and you know, we've talked about Drake May as a quarterback that we love on this podcast. If you like Drake May, you probably like the Patriots to be better this year, and if you like the Patriots to be better this year, why wouldn't you invest in a running back they just spent pretty significant draft capital on? I think it all just kind of pieces itself together. That will do it for another edition of the Crossing Routes podcast. Thanks everybody for tuning in. As always, we will be back again next week to help you get prepared for your fantasy leagues in 2025. Adios. Think about it. Staying up and sleeping late.